this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and Father, we thank you that you you came to this earth, Lord, and you died for our sins, and what a great thing you've done, and we just pray, Lord, that we would just be faithful to that cause of telling others about you, Lord, and Father, now we pray, Lord, that you would just be with us this morning, and be our teacher and our guide. Let the Holy Spirit be our teacher and our guide, and that we may see what you want us to see here. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, we ended last week in verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, the context of this is this Jew is he's in the tribulation here. Okay, he's in the beginning of sorrows here. And before that, there's wars and rumors of wars, and we see that today. And the closer we get to the Lord's return, the more rumors you're going to hear, and the more actual wars are going to take place. But in the tribulation, and I don't know what's going to bring this about, nations shall rise against nation. Okay, I don't know what event, maybe the rapture. Maybe everybody's going to be wondering if this country did what, you know, why is there blood everywhere? Why are there cars everywhere hitting other cars? Why are there planes crashing? Why are there people disappearing off of planes? Now, some think that they're going to bring in the alien idea. I highly doubt that, but some people do think that. And, hey, I don't know what causes the nation shall rise against nation, but I do know who allows that to happen, and that's God. Because that's part of a seal judgment, or a seal that he opens up on this earth. And you find that in Revelation 6. But are we as Christians going to go through this beginning of sorrows? No, not during the tribulation. Now, we have our sorrows here, folks. Just because we're not going through the tribulation doesn't mean we're not going to go through some earthquakes, right? Doesn't mean that we're not going to go through tornadoes and fires and floods. And it doesn't mean we're not going to have sorrow in our life. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean we're not going to see rumors of wars and it's going to be prevalent in our lifetime. But one thing I'm sure of that we're not going to see is we're not going to see world war, because the Bible says that's going to happen in tribulation. This is a generation here that we're talking about in Matthew 24:7 will be the nation, a generation where the nation of Israel, where God is dealing with them again. Right now he is kind of put that on hold, but he's going to pick up his dealings again with the nation of Israel once the church is raptured out of this earth. During the tribulation, that nation of Israel, he is going to see all these things come to pass. They're going to see people die during the world wars, a world war. They're going to see world hunger. In Revelation 6, there's a pestilence in the Bible, and it could be a number of things. And we'll turn there. We went through this a little bit last week. I gave the verse 2 Samuel 24:15. 2 Samuel 24:15. Is that it? 2 Samuel 24, I was in 2 Chronicles. The Bible says, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented of the evil and said to the angel, it is enough. So here's an angel, and an angel is bringing this pestilence upon the people there, okay? In Revelation 6, you don't have the word pestilence given. But you have verse 7, you have a fourth angel, or a fourth a seal, I'm sorry. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell. Name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them, Death and Hell, it looks like, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword. Well, you already have one seal open and a red horse rider killing with a sword, or people are dying by the sword because of him. Power given to kill with a sword and with hunger and with death. So it looks like people are dying, and you got people dead in the streets causing disease, right? Death is causing people to die. He's killing with death and with the beasts of the earth. So the beasts are going to get involved in this too. Hey, if you've got famines, there's nothing for them to eat either, right? And so, and war causes these things to happen, folks. When you have world war, people are going to be starving. People are going to be hurting. There's going to be death in the streets and all these other things. But maybe that's this pestilence. I don't know, but it looks like Matthew 24:7. It coincides with Revelation 6 here, this chapter. And so now, when you look at earthquakes, the Bible says Israel is, they're going to see these earthquakes happen in diverse places. Back in Matthew 24, and it says right here, and earthquakes in diverse places. Israel's going to see these earthquakes. There's three of them mentioned in Revelation, and but they're going to see earthquakes in diverse places. And one thing you know by looking at historical records, and if you look from 1973 until 2005, that's as far as I could find, earthquakes went from 5,000 in 1973 to 30,000 in 2005. 30,000 earthquakes on this earth. That's amazing, folks. And we're sheltered from a lot of these. I mean, you feel, my mom felt tremors in Indiana a couple years back. And so they're there. And the fact that earthquakes are increasing, they are increasing the closer we get to the Lord's return. And they're going to keep getting increase. They're going to keep increasing. And they're not decreasing. And during the tribulation, Israel is going to see these earthquakes along with all this other destruction in Matthew 24:7. And the Bible says that's the beginning of the tribulation, beginning of sorrows. That's only the beginning that they're going to face. And so the tribulation in this world, it's going to start out bad, and it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. And all these things are nothing compared to what this Antichrist is going to do when he finally officially takes over. Okay? This Antichrist first shows up on the scene sometime at the beginning of the tribulation, and he is one of the seals found in Revelation 6. He's this rider on a white horse. But it doesn't look like he's mentioned here in Matthew 24:7, because it says, "For nation shall rise up against nation." That's the second horse that comes out of this second seal, the red horse. That's where, I mean, if you go with me, if you would, to Revelation, you have the second seal was opened by the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he allows this stuff to happen. He is bringing it upon them. He's opening up the seals. This white horse rider is not the Lord Jesus. He comes with a bow. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, verse 1, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So this guy shows up on the scene. He's the first seal that gets opened. He's before the World War, or maybe right close. But the second seal is when this war comes. The Bible says in verse 4, and when he had opened, or verse 3, and when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. That's kingdom rising against kingdom. That's nation rising against nation. That they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Okay? And so, this world war start out. It starts out with world war. During the tribulation, God is going to gather the house of Israel back to Jerusalem. And if you look in world wars, when there is a time of world war, and there has been in this country, what happens to the people that we're at war with, that are living in this country? Look at Japan. We had concentration camps here. They put Japanese people in the camps. Right? People know from history what to do, and that's get out of the country you're at war with. Right? And if nation is rising against nation, everybody's at war with everybody. Okay? Now, but he's going to bring the house of Israel back. That's found in Ezekiel. Ezekiel. And there's a lot to this, folks, and, you know, nobody knows everything about this. We're just trying to piece in some of the information here to get a clear understanding of what's happening. How is the Lord going to get them back to Jerusalem? Right? He's going to get them back, and he's going to use the seal, the second seal, to get them back. Ezekiel 22. Verse 17, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. Right? Not all of them are going to make it there. But he's going to gather them there. He's going to gather them there. How's he going to do that? Well, when there's a time of nation against nation, and people are killing each other, and they're at war with each other, people are going to scatter. They're going to, when they start seeing this stuff happen, they're going to scatter back to Jerusalem, Israel, and then God's going to get them back there. Not all of them, but a good majority of them. He's going to get them there. Why? So that they can get purged. If you keep reading through Ezekiel, they're getting purged. He's refining them. He's going to pull out a remnant from that furnace, the silver. He's going to pull out the good stuff. All the bad stuff's going to get burned up. And that's going to happen in Jerusalem. The Lord's doing that in Jerusalem. And so, how's he going to do this? Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, found in Revelation 6:4, the red horse rider. And this event sent by God will drive that Jewish people back to Jerusalem, as, of course, we know from history. Nations have camps, and we've got them set up in this country, ready to go. Ready to go. Now, go with me, if you would, to Luke 21. This is another passage that deals with the same events that are taking place here. Luke 21, verse 10. And what we're going to read here in the next verses, in verse 9, will line up here with Luke 21, verse 10. The Bible says, then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And you got a semicolon, or a colon. and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. And so he tells them what he's going to do. He's going to give them what to say. He's going to give them what to say. They're not to take any thought of it. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which are your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Not all of them. Hey, in Matthew 25, in some of these nations, you're going to be able to visit these Jews in the prison. And they're not going to kill you for it. He says, hey, I was in prison and you visited me not. So that Jew's going to be, not all of them are going to make it back to Jerusalem. There's going to be some of them in other countries. In some countries, they're going to cut off their heads. They're cutting off people's heads now. Right? But not in all countries, not in all nations. It's not going to happen in all nations. And he shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. These are people dying and they're not perishing. In your patience possess ye your souls. Okay? Go back to Matthew 24. This event sent by God is going to send the Jewish people back to Jerusalem. In World War II, you had Jewish people were sent back to Jerusalem. In World War II, Jews are going to be fleeing back to their land. I'm sorry, Jews were fleeing back to their land during World War II for safety because they saw their people being imprisoned. But during a time of world war, people are going to flee. People are going to flee. Verse 9, 24 verse 9. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you. We just read that. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now, this is, again, it's going to happen in the context. This is going to happen in the tribulation. And this is that business in Matthew 25 and James 2. The Jews in the land, he's being imprisoned. He's being tortured. He's being killed. You find that in Revelation 6:10 and Revelation 24. The Bible says, and ye shall be hated of all nations. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the disciples. You see, that's who he's talking to. The disciples, they represent the Jews as a nation. And in the tribulation, they're going to be hated of all nations. Why? And we read that in in Luke 20, 21, for Jesus' name's sake. At some point, there's going to be Jewish people that trust the Lord. You've got the 144,000 saints running around. You're going to have Moses and Elijah come back. But at some point, these Jewish people are going to, for Jesus' name's sake, be persecuted, be killed. And it looks like it's during the time that nation is rising against nation. And it looks like at this time that nation is rising against nation, that the Antichrist is behind the scenes working. He's behind the scenes working. Look, if you would, in Daniel 11. Daniel 11. He's working behind the scenes to take control of the kingdoms. And look, if you would, in 11 verse 20. Then shall stand up in his estate There's a person before him. He stumbles and falls, and nobody is able to find this guy. This is during the tribulation. He's gone. Hey, you got people kidnapping people right now in Middle Eastern countries because of this oil problems. They're just gone. Nowhere to be found. But here, this guy, he stumbles and falls. Verse 19, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes. Here comes a man upon the scene here in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Well, how is this guy destroyed? If it's not because somebody's angry at him, and it's not because they're at war with somebody. Right? But here's this guy, he comes on the scene, and you see it when you read down through 20 through 45. He comes to power during the tribulation, looks like through dirty politics. He's warring with this guy before him. Verse 18, after this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall not cause the reproach offered by him to cease. There's a prince coming up. That's this guy that's going to take control in the next couple verses here. And it looks like dirty politics. It looks like this guy, he falls and he stumbles and he can't be found. It looks like he's kidnapped. Hey, if something happens to our president, who steps in place? They've got somebody that's ready to come up to the ranks. This guy can't be found. Somebody's right there ready to come up in the ranks. And he does. And verses 20 here, then shall stand up in his state a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person. So here you've got a guy, and he could be called the man of sin, but is he the son of perdition yet? Is he the son of perdition yet? At some point, there's a man that gets a fatal wound to the head. He's destroyed. Destroyed. And a vile person stands up. How does he stand up? Well, it looks like he takes control of this man's body. He stands up. And so this what it's looking like, this vile person here, is the devil incarnate. The Antichrist is destroyed, the man, and the devil incarnate comes into his body. And the spirit of Antichrist comes into his body. The Bible says this man, he's not destroyed because of somebody is mad at him. He's not destroyed because there's a war going on. You know why he's destroyed? Because he needs to be destroyed. If he isn't destroyed, the devil can't take control of him. Can't get his body. The devil can't get somebody and have full control over somebody's body unless he has no soul and no free will and no spirit of God, and spirit given by God in him. Look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a body. Was there another man's spirit in him? Was there another man's soul in the body that was prepared for Jesus Christ? Well, the devil, he needs to imitate Jesus Christ in every particular. And how does he do that? This man is destroyed, and there's a body. And he can now enter into that body. That man's soul is in hell. That man's spirit went back to God. But the devil has a body. And he can come up into power now. And he does so peaceably. He does so peaceably. And it looks like there may be an election. How do you come into power by peace if nobody will give you the kingdom? With fair words, great speeches, It says right there. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. Think about it. If you just saw this guy dead, are you going to really trust? He comes back to life. Are you going to trust him with that? Right? But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. So it looks like the man Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel, the prince of Israel at the time. And this guy, the devil incarnate, doesn't want anything to do with that covenant. And he's furious about this thing. So he's trying to come after Israel. And he's withholding a couple times, but he eventually gets there when you read down through that, through Daniel. But the devil can never have full control of a body with a God-given soul and a God-given spirit. He can't, because there's free will there. And where there's free will, that can overthrow the devil. So that's how, and then you can find that in 2 Thessalonians. There's a, it looks like 2:7. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Yeah, we'll go there real quick. This gets kind of intricate. And I know we've all heard this before, but we'll read it again. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let. Let is prevent. Can be prevent. It could be to let somebody do something or to prevent somebody to do something. Until he be taken out of the way. Who's the he? It's the Antichrist, the man. He's got to be taken out of the way. It's a necessity. Nobody's going to take him out of the way because they're mad at him. Nobody's going to take him out of the way because they're warring with him. He's going to be taken out of the way because it's a necessity for the devil to come in and take control of his body. It's a necessity. And now that nation of Israel is going to be hated by all nations that side with that Antichrist. Why? Because as a nation, that Jew, they don't get with the program. They don't. Individually, the Jewish people get with the program, but as a nation, they don't get with the program. And you know this because there is a remnant that comes out of Jerusalem and ends up in the wilderness that call upon the Lord. That's the nation of Israel. That's the nation of Israel. Also, you've got 144,000 Jews, of 12,000 of every tribe. They don't get with the program. They don't get with the program. And so they're going to be hated. Why? They're going to be hated because the Antichrist has made this covenant with them. It's a seven-year covenant with them. And once this man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed, and the devil takes control of the Antichrist's body, incarnate, he's going to be the devil incarnate, he's going to break that covenant. He's going to break the covenant. You find that in Daniel 11, 20 through 45, but he's going to break it. And so there's going to be, the nations are going to hate them. People in the nations are going to hate them. And they're going to be imprisoned and tortured and beheaded for Christ's name's sake. And their own will turn on each other individually, but not as a nation. Individually, why? Why will they turn on each other? The devil had it right in Job. He had it right. Job 2:4 says, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his own life. You look in World War II, Jewish people were selling out their own brethren to try and stay alive. Look at the history. Selling out their own brothers so they could try and escape the gas chambers. And so when it comes down to a matter of life, the devil knows, life and death, he knows. You would be surprised who will turn against you when it comes down to you getting a job and somebody else getting a job. You'd be surprised. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. You're, when it's you or the other guy, Other guy turn on you in a heartbeat. Same thing when it's with somebody's actual physical life. And the devil knows how to run people's lives. He knows what people are afraid of. People are afraid to die. They just are, folks. They're afraid to die. Because anybody that has any sense, they know they're going to die. You know, really, the only fair thing in life is death. Everybody's going to die. Unless the Lord, that's if the Lord tarries. But if he doesn't tarry, there's going to be somebody left. Right? When he comes to get the church, there's going to be people that never die. But the devil, he's said to have a power of death. And he does, in a historical sense. But does he have power to come and take your life? You find that in Job? No. He's got to go ask permission. Why? Because there's one greater than he. In 1 John 4:4, it says, there's one in you, greater in is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God's greater than the devil. But historically, he was responsible for death coming on to all mankind. He was responsible for that. And but God is greater than the adversary. And when a person trusts in Christ, they don't have to fear death anymore. Why? Because they know that Jesus is going to destroy the devil, who had power of death. Who had it. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:14, and God is able to deliver those that are subject through bondage, but only if they'll call upon the name of the Lord. And you find that Jew will call upon the name of the Lord at the end of the tribulation, and Jesus will come and save them. He'll come and save them. What time are we at? Verse 11, Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. The Bible says, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Now the devil, he's always used religion to control people, and it started back in Genesis with Eve. He used religion. He brought up God. Yea, hath God said. And all throughout the Bible, you have false prophets and false teachers, and it's not going to be any different in tribulation. It's not going to be any different. In fact, it's going to be a lot easier for these people to deceive people because they're going to have signs and wonders. We'll be able to perform miracles, right? And people are going to want to believe something. Look at all the stuff that's going to take place. This is just the beginning. All the death that's going to happen, all the famine, pestilences. People are going to want something to believe in. And you're going to have the same false prophets that are here today. They're going to rise up and say, this is the way. This is the way. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to do this and you have to do that. And it's based upon no factual evidence in the Bible. It will be based upon no factual evidence in the Bible. And we'll go ahead and stop there. But next week we'll get into this thing about the he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And I'll have to go through that again and just double check and make sure that it's right. But it's pretty interesting, folks. And it's pretty interesting. And you're going to see, I'll give you a preview, you're going to see that in the tribulation, that the Jew has to keep commandments. And I'm going to show you that you have to keep commandments today. You have to keep commandments today. The same commandments today is the same commandments there. And you can come or not, but it's true. God said in Acts that he commandeth every man everywhere to repent. And if you don't keep that command, you're not going to get saved. And and if you don't repent towards God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus, it's a command to obey the gospel. It's a command. If you don't keep that command, you're not going to be saved in this age. All right? We'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we thank you for your commands, and we thank you for all the things you've told us to do, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've told us to repent. You've told us to obey the gospel. And we're no different than the next generation, Lord. You're going to be telling them the same thing. And we pray, Lord, that we would see your truths and your word, and we would not try to have a preconceived idea about it. We've been shown other things in the Bible, but do we really understand? And we pray that you would help us to do so. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.